We have Commissioners Bevins, Hollis, and Gedge this evening. That is enough for us to proceed. We've got a quorum. I'd like to welcome members of the public who have joined us this evening, both in person and online, as well as members of staff who are here this evening to present the evidence for this evening's application and to walk us through this procedure. So our first item of business this evening is a motion to approve our agenda. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as printed.
Okay, I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Our next item of business is to approve our minutes from the February 28th, 2023 Planning Commission meeting. Everybody's had an opportunity to review those. Okay.
I have one question. Since our February 20th meeting, we had the joint meeting with City Council. I know it's a study session, but do we have to have minutes for that just because we met as a body?
They would be the City Council ones.
It'll fall under them. Okay. That's all. So I move to approve the minutes as published from our February 28, 2023 meeting.
Okay, thank you. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Staff, do you have any business for us this evening?
No, I don't believe we do. No.
Okay. Planning Commission members, Ms. Bevins, do you have a report for us?
I do. Lucky you guys, I get all the things today. So we had an ARC meeting last Wednesday, and the barn is coming back. So we did their architectural review.
In what form? As a barn?
Yes.
Okay.
As the reception center. So I was pleasantly surprised. They did a lot of work, and I think it will be great.
Why is it coming back? Wasn't it approved?
Well, site approval.
Okay.
Site plan, I believe.
So just on that, I'm sorry to interrupt your report, but I know we discussed about, you know, educating the public or anything because it's site approval. I don't know if there's a way in the noticing when it does come back to us, let them know that it is approved. And this is just, I mean, the actual concept or what's the allowed there.
Yeah.
But it's just the site plan just because of, you know, the noise we got last time and it was 50-50 for and against. If there's some way, I don't know how we do that in the noticing.
I think we will have people show up again just because they want to be heard. But several people have approached me about it. Some of them are still angry with us. But the more I've talked to them, the more they understand that this is a formality to get a site plan approval and that the barn cannot be stopped at this point. But Megan has done a lot of good work to try to mitigate some of the concerns that the neighbors had. So some stuff has changed. A lot of it's the same. I think it'll be hopefully pretty easy to come through. So that was the only thing at ARC. And then City Council was much calmer than anticipated. It was the annexation. It was fairly calm. I think only three people spoke. It passed. They did discuss, obviously, transportation and water and all of the same things and talked about how they're going to mitigate some of the issues with controlling for what we have called infill projects, but obviously that's not what they're called. But what we've referred to as those, they've talked about how we kind of mitigate that from becoming the large problem that we've had in portions of Daybreak with them changing portions of things. And then they'd had a veterans presentation, and there was also a presentation by the South Valley Chamber of Commerce on the state of the chamber, and that was really interesting to hear what they've done and what they're going to do and about their programs that they hold. So that was it. It was a pretty simple meeting.
Sorry, follow up on your report. It might be for staff. I know in the report it said that the lieutenant governor is the next step in the annexation piece. And is it generally just signed by the lieutenant governor? Is there, I mean, more formality of the process or hearings or just that next step in the phase?
It's just a formality pretty much that there's not any more hearings with at the state level, but the lieutenant governor's when it signs it.
And they said they expect it in July.
Yeah, and that's I guess that's what.
So we could start seeing stuff, I guess, after July lets applications roll in.
The developer said they don't plan to really do anything with it right now. It's more of a formality so they can be engaged in the processes with the city for like transportation and water and, and all of the things that come before that. But they don't intend to develop any time soon.
That's what I understand. But it'll be a while before. It might be more than a year before we see. Even, I don't even know if we'll see an application.
And just one other question. Now that this is more likely going to happen, the existing Daybreak, not Daybreak 2.0, but are they Greg, because you work with them close, do you know if they're reconsidering any of their open space or what remaining property they have left? Because they'll have a, I guess, a competitor in the general vicinity.
I think that they are, but there's several things that we're probably working with them on. One of them is also accessory dwelling units in Daybreak. That's one issue that they would like. We're waiting for them to come up with an idea of which part of the code, and our legal department, I believe, is working with their attorneys and as well as staff. I'm trying to get that done, and once we have, if we have to look into the development agreement again, then open that up to amend it to get some of the other things that they want. There may be some things that we want, and there's be some negotiating going on, I imagine. But I don't know how soon they're going to act on that. Right now, their concentration hopefully is on the ballpark. And we have not seen an application for the ballpark or anything subdividing.
Well, with opening day Friday, they got 2 years from Friday.
So. Yeah, so we're kind of concerned it's taking a while for them to get their stuff in. Not that it will take too long to review it, but just to build it, it's going to take them some time. So anyway.
Developer did say that they are all, everything they're going to start with will be east of U-111, though.
Okay.
So the west portion of that will be quite a ways into the future.
And I'm assuming on the west part of the more of the, there'll be maybe some soil mitigation and things like that because of the current mine operations.
There might be because there was some in Daybreak quite a bit. Okay. So I would imagine the closer you get to the mine, they'll have just as much.
Yeah, I believe they said most of the property hasn't been mined though, if I remember right. Don't quote me on that, but at least the portion west of 111.
Yeah.
Didn't, but they did intend to do the soil testing and do any mitigation that needed to be done.
It depends on if they had, Daybreak had some tailings and stuff were dumped on the ground there. So that was different. It wasn't any mining, but it was results of mining. And I don't know what they've done on that. Maybe closer to the mine, they might not have had that kind of dumping or any tailings were deposited in that area. So that might be a good thing, hopefully. So
this is going to be just a silly question just for my education, but that used to be the unincorporated community of Lark. I guess that's no more, correct, just officially?
Lark went away when it was torn. Everything was torn down.
Okay.
Over there, right. And that's another thing. The other proposal that's on the corner of 118th and Bacchus Highway there, that was temporarily called Lark Meadows. I guess they've changed their name, and I don't know what they've changed it to. So, but that doesn't really matter. But we don't have an application in for that area yet either. So,
okay, I'll stop asking questions.
All right. Was that everything, Ms. Bevins?
Yes.
Okay. I have Mr. Catmull is signed up for our next city council meeting on April 4th. I'll send him a reminder and make sure he can still attend that. Okay, I think we are ready to move into our administrative public hearings. We have one item this evening, which is a landscape modification conditional use permit. And Greg has our staff report.
Thank you. Demir wasn't able to be here tonight because he is out sick, so I will present his application. The applicant is requesting city approval to install artificial turf in the front yard of their property. And you can see here where the property is located. It's just one house away from Riverfront Parkway and on the corner of Park Palisade Drive and Elisa Meadow Drive. The this is the like the site plan of the front yard area showing the artificial turf where it will be located. It covers most of the front yard area. There is a planter area. It's about 4 feet wide that runs adjacent to the sidewalk, around from the on the side property line and around to the across the front. And there are some planter areas adjacent to the home as well. The our ordinance states that the front yard shall be landscaped with the at least 50% of the 50% of the area is covered with plant material upon maturity of that plant material. However, they can residents can apply for a conditional use permit for alternative landscaping, which is what they've done here with the artificial turf. They will have some live plant material in some of the planter areas, but obviously it won't cover 50% of the area when it's mature. The applicant is also proposing to build a fence around the front, a front yard fence. That will go before our hearing officer. I'm not sure when, but soon. The hearing officer as a variance to that section of our code. So that it's not brought to the Planning Commission, but the hearing officer will hear that. There are other cities in the valley that actually have standards set in their codes for artificial turf. We do not have that. We haven't had that much call for it. That's one of the reasons why we probably haven't dug into it too deeply. But Demir states in the staff report that he is looked at the standards that other cities have, and standards are, you know, they pertain to things like for warranties, how what's it going to look like in the future, and then also permeability, water flow through it, and the actual height of the pile of the, basically it's a carpet, so what's the pile height and things like that, and overall durability. And he's indicated that after looking at the other city's standards, that the standards proposed here with this proposal seem to exceed the standards of most of those cities, where they usually an eight-year warranty was what some of the cities were requiring, but this is a 16-year warranty on this, so the product is warranted for a longer period of time than some others. Those are the things that we would look at as maybe a detrimental effect, is what's it going to look like? What's the warranties? Is it going to be look as nice as grass if for a longer period of time? And by doing that research, we've concluded that if that couldn't be identified as a detrimental effect necessarily, because it's not, because of the warranty and the way it's going to appear and the way it's put together on the ground and so forth. So in that case, staff is recommending approval of the conditional use permit, because we don't see any detrimental effect that isn't already mitigated by the product. So,
if you guys
want to
talk to us, thanks, Greg.
When the public hearing starts, they'll bring it.
So we often have ordinances for a reason; they're meant to mitigate undesirable things. Can you speak to why we have the ordinances that we do, as far as 50% landscaping and 50% of that being live plant growth?
Well, with the live plant growth, what does a couple of things. It does project a cooling effect to the environment, is one of the things, and it also, live plants will actually clean the air and so forth, and that's mainly trees will do the cleaning of the air, and their shade can provide a cooling effect. This turf, artificial turf, will be hot in the summer. We know that because it'll radiate heat as well. There's not a field or you know, a football field around that doesn't radiate the heat, or a baseball field if they happen to have, baseball won't allow artificial turf, but it will do that. But again, it hasn't been identified that that's environmentally an environmental issue, an environmental problem, by anyone that we could find. So that's why we still would like to see the live plant material, and we hope that will. But we only require 50% at coverage because it will grow. We also don't want to have live turf because of the water issue. We know that that grass, regular grass, will use up a lot more water than anything else does. So that's why we encourage the limitation of turf, of live turf in the front yards. We don't prohibit it. We only prohibit turf in the park strips. But we encourage people to put in other plant materials in their front yards. But this is an option for them to apply for the conditioning permit to do something that's different than what the code allows, and that specifically would, in this case, is the artificial turf.
Can you comment on the water absorption? Without Jeremy here, I'm sure he could speak to the type of water absorption that occurs with natural landscaping.
Yeah, I do not know what the land... It can't be... It's probably not any more than what this is, because this seems like... It appears that it says like over 80 inches per hour is permeability. How you get 80 inches of any water poured straight on it. Definitely, it goes right through it. Now, when it gets through the turf, I don't know how the underlying soil is going to take it, but it doesn't seem to be any worse than actual live turf, that it'll collect the water, it'll just go below the turf, and then whatever it'll be in there, I'm not sure how quickly it will run off. It wouldn't run off any quicker than once it hits the dirt, it'll either soak in or it will run off. But
speak to me about the fence. I know we're not hearing the fence, but I assume regardless of what's decided about the fence, if we approve this, the four foot garden width would still have to be included as well. That is not turf.
Right. If you approve this application, you approve the site plan showing that there's 4 feet of planter there that would have to have hopefully we'll have the vegetation in it. And it won't just be rock and so forth. You can, because if it is just the rock, well, then we would probably have to bring that back as well to the Planning Commission. And I don't think that we would recommend approval of no plants anywhere on the front yard. So that's what we're going to be.
It's calling out ground cover with soil pep. And
so
then
I think those ground covers will cover it, and that
flowers,
and it should. And so if they put those ground covers in, it's what you approve tonight. If they don't, if it doesn't happen, then of course the conditional use permit is revoked. But I'm pretty sure that they'll, you can ask them, but I think they plan on following through with those minimal things, regardless of whether the fence is approved by the variance with a hearing officer. I don't know, because it's. I don't think the fence isn't being put up to as a barrier between the grass and the planter area, but more as a barrier between people walking on the front yard and standing and so forth.
Are we also approving the park strip? Because as shown, it's not meeting our requirements for plants.
No, I am not sure where that's going at this point, because it is in violation of our code, and I'm not sure if it's code case. I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. Commissioners, questions for staff?
I just have a partnership question. So.
Can I interject a couple thoughts on your first question? You asked what the purpose of the ordinance is, and you can go back and maybe find the minutes from those meetings and, gain greater insight. But I think the purpose of the ordinance is to protect the home values and the neighborhoods of everybody. It's always sad when you have a neighborhood that's beautiful and then you have the one home that has just been let go to pot. And I don't think that's happened here, and I don't think that's what they're proposing, which is why the staff has recommended approval. But the wording is kind of interesting. The yard area, let's see, and not less 50% of the required landscape area covered in acceptable live plant material. We don't have that here, but then it says, unless otherwise approved with a conditional use permit. And it offers no guidance, really, as to when a situation is conditional use permit worthy. That's something that you've got to judge according to the normal conditional use permit standards. You know, do we see detrimental effects? That makes questions such as Commissioner Hollis about the water absorption and other things entirely appropriate. I think the applicants have, just my own judgment, done a good job in submitting drawings that tell us quite a bit about what they're proposing, and the evidence in the drawing speaks to whether or not there is detrimental effect from having this change that they want to do something different.
Ms. Bevins, did you get your questions answered?
Kind of. So are we approving their park strip as is, or is that completely separate from this?
All that you're basically, I think, approving is the front yard area.
Okay, so that's considered separate from the park strip.
I think in this case, because it is there, I don't think it's, it wasn't part of their application to do that.
To be clear, though, could we, if we were to create a motion, specifically specify the piece of property that we are
to be in compliance,
to be in compliance,
in all other respects,
not including the park strip or whatever that, however that motion is drafted,
them to work with compliance on the park strip.
Would that be inappropriate for us to draft a motion in that manner?
Before I answer that question, I've got to get myself up to speed. I'm not sure how the park strip is out of compliance.
It has to. The park strip has to have. It's not allowed to have any grass in it. If they've changed it from before, but it can't just be all rock. And it has to also have 50% of plant material. At maturity, the plants have to cover 50% of the park strip, and they have to have one tree for every 50 feet, and I'm pretty sure staff does not believe that the plants they put in there are trees. They're tall, like juniper type trees, not trees, bushes. That's what they are. So
Italian cypress, I believe.
Yeah, it's okay. Italian cypress. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now going back to that guy, I can't remember his name, Commissioner Gedge's question. Okay, so the ordinance we're looking at says, and the front and street side yards of single-family lots shall be fully improved, okay? So does the drawing show them fully improved? I think that aspect, well, you be the judges of that, but to me it looks fully improved. And properly maintained with not less than 50% of the yard area landscaped, and not less than 50% of the required landscaped area covered in acceptable live plant material. Now, so what your question is asking is something that I don't think staff brought up in their report, because I don't see reference to the park strip and a violation of the park strip being discussed anywhere in the report. Am I wrong about that, Greg?
No, it's like I said, it wasn't part of this application for conditional use permit. And it wasn't even mentioned. It's not in the staff report, but like I said, I'm not positive, but it may already be a code enforcement case for under review. I have no idea for sure.
Okay, so again, I think that I don't have the application in front of me, but what I do have is drawings that show the park strip. So I might interpret that a little different, that the park strip is part of the application. And and before I rejected that, I think I would want to go back and specifically look at the ordinance that has not been brought up by staff and you know, make sure because we're kind of acting as lawyers as we go as far as that park strip goes. Now, with respect to the ordinance that has been brought up and that we are looking at, I interpret that as saying that we, you know, as a general rule, 50% is required live plant material, but it also has, unless otherwise approved with the conditional use permit. And I think that's what's before you is a conditional use permit. And so to me, this is within the application and it's within your scope of duty or scope of ability and decision-making here tonight to make, to going directly back to your question, can this conditional use permit cover that parking strip? And in, you know, and I'm not infallible by any means, but in my opinion that it can. And I invite anybody else to weigh in on that, but that's my interpretation.
Thank you, Mr. Simons.
Any other questions for staff?
Not until we open the public hearing, and then I might have additional after.
Okay. I'm inclined to have the applicant come answer some questions and present any additional information you'd like to add to the staff report. Would you please state your name and where you reside for the up at the microphone so that we have it on our records? Thank you.
My name is Rebecca Wyant.
What can you tell us about this application that staff hasn't already answered or told
let's
us?
Let's address the park strip first.
Let's do it.
Okay. So this will be the park strip, as you can see. I'm not sure why he doesn't have the updated, but there are trees along the north side also. These are also Italian cypress trees. Yes, there is white marbled rock in there. There is a reason for this. This is our fourth attempt at growing trees in the park strip, and I want to speak to the reason that we did not put any other landscaping in there is because we are the school bus stop and have been for 25 years. Every single day, high school and junior high, that is also one of the reasons that we ask for the fence, because we have, we're basically a garbage dump for High C or Capri Sun or whatever. They step every time we've planted. Of course, they're walking across it to get to the bus. And that is why we went with a very minimalist approach in, a minimalist approach to the park strips in an effort to grow just some kind of tree and not any additional plant life. Just so I know that we made in there. And this is also...
Ms. Wyant, will you hand those out? And then everything you want to say, will you do it at the microphone so our records catch it? They do recordings.
My bad.
And then Ms. Valdez, you'll make sure this ends up in the record. Thank you.
Do they need... I have more.
I'll share with them after if you'd like.
Okay, well, I have... Do we have more? Or...
No, that's all.
Okay. If you, in here is a detailed specification on the actual AstroTurf. Also included in that are the laboratory tests that should answer the questions about how and the drainage should work and what will happen after. It talks about also the warranty. I have spoken to the people who actually sell this turf. Yes, it has a 16-year warranty, but it has lasted much longer in the testing areas that they have had. So we're looking at not having to obviously replace it immediately at the end of the 16 years. Something to speak to that, while we're looking at a cost, the AstroTurf is actually more than 50% of the cost of the build, the installation, and all of the stuff that has to go underneath it for drainage. There is, and then there's also things applied in the AstroTurf, which consists of like sand and silica sand and different things like that in an effort to help the drainage. So these are the laboratory tests on the actual turf itself that have been done. And this is the accreditation by NavLab that the AstroTurf was given. So that maybe might answer some of your questions as to the AstroTurf itself. If you look, I also included in the, and something I don't know if you guys were given, but this will be the final. We did an artist rendering, had an artist rendering done of the final of what the property will look like once it is completed. So you can see the flower beds in the front. Those will consist of not just annual flowers, but they do have perennial flowers in them consisting of irises, daylilies, various cone flowers and things like that. So there will be an abundance of color that comes in that 4-foot strip, along with just the annual flowers that will be planted annually. So if that answers any questions about the flower bed surrounding the fencing area. As far as the park strip is concerned, we were under the impression that that was part of the fence application. It went with along with the fencing application, but I did put explanations in that application that went on. There is a living on that corner for 25 years. We are kind of the dropping point for joggers to drop their water bottles, people to, you know, and things to go, and they always do that in the park strips. The park strips on a regular basis. When we did have grass there, it was constantly trampled and used a huge amount of water. I can speak to the water issue as far as saving with the AstroTurf. The unfortunate part is we put our faith in a less than stellar landscaping company, and he told us he had gotten everything approved and proceeded to take off the top of our landscaping. And this is why we're here today. At this point, there is no lawn. It was removed almost 18 months ago, and in the process of trying to find a new contractor and figure out what we had to do, we kind of took control and realized that we have to have all of these permits that we had asked him previously. Did you get the permits for this? Because we knew that there was probably going to be a fencing permit that was needed. And when he said no, that's all been taken care of, and then proceeded to peel our lawn off. So we've been without a lawn since about January, February of 2020. That's when he took off the lawn. It's when we didn't have a whole lot of rain. It's that winter that there wasn't a lot of rain, and he did a lot of work. And then subsequently didn't show back up. And so here we are. So we kind of took hold of the reins and had to go and figure out exactly what was needed with the fencing and with the landscaping in general. We are a west-facing house. We get full-on west-facing sun. That was one of the reasons that we chose the AstroTurf, because no matter what or how much water we put on our lawn, there was always this enormous dead spot right in the middle. So we had taken a trip to St. George, and we ended up seeing a ton of different lawns that had this beautiful green grass and saved all of this water at the same time. And at the time, we had not had a winter like this winter has been in several years. And we felt that that would be the most environmental friendly thing to do, living in a desert environment and trying to find something that fit with our home and the amount of, and the retail value of our property, or the value of our property, and keeping it within that. That is also why we chose this particular, we looked at several different artificial turfs, and it came down to three, and this one was the final one that we decided on. It is, but as far as the park strips are concerned, the biggest reason the park strips are not planted out is because every single morning, Monday through Friday, I get a junior high bus and a high school bus. And until the new elementary was built, I had an elementary bus at the same time. And I have children all over my front lawn at all times. And so that was why we went with the park strips being the way that they are, because they just trample all over everything. It's not like they stand on the sidewalk and that's not where the bus comes. The bus comes actually to the stop sign. And so they walk across the park strips and through the park strips on a regular basis. Keeping it looking nice and trying to grow things inside of it was and has proved to be nearly impossible.
Are you concerned about the temperature impact that this will have on your home?
No, and the reason I say that is because we are a west-facing house, and even though there are full-grown trees in front of us, we have gone through probably three or four front doors. One of them, we can no longer have a steel door on our front door. As our front door, we've gone through a couple of wood, solid wood doors, because the amount of sun that hits the face of our house on that side basically grills whatever is there. The reason that the plant life that we do have has survived is because it's things like daylilies that are very drought tolerant and very heat tolerant. We have a couple of bushes, which are tropical in nature, and they thrive along there. And also we have a couple of rose bushes, which also are there, and they thrive with the heat. It gets battered very much. We're on our second set of shutters. Those will also, our third set will be set up there when the new landscaping comes. And the shutters said that, you know, they can put up with a ton of different heat from Arizona and all of this stuff. We looked at all of the ratings on them, and we're on our second set. It has not, they have not withstood the heat that hits our house. And so I just don't see how it can get much warmer than what it already is, because it kills anything that is on that front. And we could water, and we did for several years, water almost every single night for 30-minute intervals, trying to let it soak in, and it just simply would not grow and just died off. Looks beautiful during the very beginning of spring and the very end of fall, but the rest of the time it's just dead.
Commissioners, questions for the applicant? Sorry, I'm working through the packet.
Just one question. Do you have pests?
We do have pests.
Okay, so I noticed in here, like, one of the details that says that they don't recommend use of weed barrier. Is that, have you considered all of that and how you're going to install this? Because I know
we are actually not the ones that are installing it. It's not us. What happens when you do an installation and it says on here that they don't insist on weed barrier, and that is because the amount of, is it called road base? They put a road base down. Mm-hmm. That road base is then compacted. And then they come back after that and they lay down the AstroTurf. We have AstroTurf in the back for our pets. There is a weed barrier there, and we do use that. the weed barrier, even though this is this says that they don't specifically say that it should that it shouldn't be underneath, we have asked if there can be a weed barrier placed, mostly because we have an issue with bindweed no matter where we're at. And so we deal with a lot of bindweed. And in the back with the weed barrier and the AstroTurf, we have had no bindweed issues. And just as a side note, I know we live in the second driest state in the nation. When we put the AstroTurf in the back and we put down the drip system that is in the back of the system, and our front yard was not there, so it wasn't really that he had peeled the front off. It wasn't getting any water. We reduced our water meter. We're on secondary water, but we reduced our watering by almost 80% just with what went in the back and using only and doing only the flower beds. And we felt that was fabulous, actually, under the circumstances, because we had no idea we would have this wet of a winter, obviously.
All right, commissioners, any other questions for the applicant?
Okay,
thank you very much. We are going to have our public comment now. During
Did
this time.
Did you want this other one for her? I have an extra.
My guess is she's okay.
Yeah, I'll get it for Cindy.
Okay, okay. All right. I had an extra, so.
Okay, all right. Thank you. I do appreciate the additional information and pictures. So at this time, we are going to open up the floor to public comment. If you've joined us this evening, either in person or online, to speak to this issue, you'll have 3 minutes to address the commission with any evidence that you've brought to share with us this evening. We just ask that you state your name and where you reside for our records. Would you like to address the commission?
Me?
Okay. Do we have anybody on our online meeting? Does not look like it. Okay, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commissioners. Mr. Simonson, I have a question for you. This letter would seem to indicate that some information has been provided to staff that might have suggested a different recommendation by staff. Can you comment if if Demir had this when he made the recommendation on the staff report?
Okay, so are you talking about the 3-page letter that I wrote?
To Mr. Hall, yes.
Okay. So that, as has been noted in the report, the fence is a subject of a separate proceeding. To have a fence, which is a front yard fence, is banned by the ordinances. And these applicants have asked for a variance from that.
Okay.
And that will be the subject of a hearing coming up in April and is not before you tonight on this conditional use application.
Are the variances, however, the same for a conditional use permit? Does it fall under the same sections of code when you request a variance for landscaping versus a fence?
Actually, the landscaping that they're requesting tonight is not a variance. It's an opportunity in the code that says that they can do this as with a conditional use permit. It's
okay.
So,
commissioners, questions for staff now that we've heard from the applicant?
Yeah, just on the conditional use permit. Whenever we have conditional use permits, we had a little bit of training in our last, combined meeting on conditional uses. But it runs with the property, even if the ownership does change. And just to be sure, so we are approving, if we did, we would be approving a conditional use for the specific artificial turf that is presented to us this evening. So if the current owner or future owner wants to replace that turf with a less quality material that's been presented to us this evening, that would basically invalidate the conditional use permit, and they would have to apply for a replacement, basically, if it's different set of parameters than what's in the application this evening, correct?
A conditional use can be, if somebody ceases complying with the terms of the conditional use. That can be brought and challenged any time.
I would argue similarly, like he's saying, if they're out of compliance, then they now have to come back into compliance, which is a major overhaul of this property.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that, you know, we are approving an artificial turf this evening, and then, you know, I'm not saying these applicants, but a future owner could come and say, hey, we just want to throw a rock down, or whatever that might be. You know, is the whatever is being conditionally authorized this evening, you know, like you're saying, you know, those amount of compliance. I just want to make sure that whatever, you know, whatever runs with the property, that it's, you know, clear and specific with what we would be approving this evening. So that's just my one, you know, and we have it similarly with other conditional uses, you know, with drive-throughs or whatever that might be. So I just want to make sure as it runs with the property that, you know, yeah, it looks like what's being presented this evening is very high quality. Looks like they have done their due diligence and to make this, you know, a really high quality product. But not to say they might own it forever. It's just, you know, down the road past that. Or, you know, what happens when the 16-year warranty expires and, you know, a new homeowner doesn't want to do the replacement. And, you know.
So that brings up an issue that I'm concerned about. We grant a conditional use permit. What metrics do we need to have in place that states when that's out of compliance, when the color has faded a certain amount, when the visibility...
Or is that up to neighbors making a complaint to a code enforcement?
But as long as there is turf there, yeah, they'll be in compliance with their conditional use permit. And so I guess I'm asking, is there a condition that we need to call out?
And then, yeah, and similarly, that condition call out is that this might be the first one we're approving in the city, and you know, water use has been in the, you know, public ears lately. So, you know, other people probably going to drive by maybe want to apply. So what kind of standard are we setting with this first initial
to go through the process? Yes. Formally? They're so, absolutely, yeah, not the first.
Yeah,
I've
so,
seen.
Yeah,
yards.
So do we need to just be as specific as we can? Not having specifically identified it, you know, that there's a detriment, how do we mitigate that detriment? But what are we approving? And like you're saying, right, what are the standards for to make sure that it's still in compliance with that conditional use, or does the conditional use revocation process have to then be invoked? And how is that instigated at that point?
I think this is a good point for, I don't know if it's city staff or city council, to start looking at putting in standards and limitations on artificial turf.
But if you go back to the meeting that we had last month, this might be us that starts looking at what this standard would be and would make a recommendation.
So we...
I have concerns, but I don't have substantial evidence this evening, yes, to share. I drove through Riverton. On Redwood Road, they've replaced a lot of park strip and areas of turf on their publicly owned properties with this artificial turf. And in the middle of winter, when there's snow everywhere else, you can tell where the turf is because it's melted. It's bright green.
Yeah, and I can't remember if it was in a meeting with Planning Commission or where I was, but there was a water expert that was speaking to us and said that turf saves on water now, but in the long run, it heats up our
urban heating. And Mr.
And adds to things and just...
Schindler, I don't want to pick on you. You made a comment that there's no proof about the heating and the impact, but I have read peer-reviewed articles that talk about this urban heating issue, and especially how it impacts nighttime temperatures. It doesn't allow areas to cool as much in the night just because of the heat that's retained.
There's a lot of things that cause that, and I don't think this at this point. I brought it up years ago, and we had somebody actually come and present to the city council in a work session, artificial turf, and I brought up all of that, and it didn't seem to fall on it seemed to make me fall on some deaf ears, because they weren't. They didn't really say they didn't like it, and but they said, well, we'll just continue with the process of going through reviewing artificial turf as a conditional use permit. And that's what they, but I agree, there are certain places, certain articles I've found that talk about the urban heat island and how it heats up. I found a lot of things that are detrimental to the to the atmosphere, and that urban, then when it heats up, it's also not good for the air quality either. So I've pointed out more than just turf, but idling at intersections, idling in parking lots. I don't think there's any interest in suburban areas, suburban cities. I don't seem to, and it's not just South Jordan, West Jordan. None of the cities are passing any ordinances that are prohibiting either turf or any of the other things that are detrimental to the environment. It's usually the larger cities, for some reason, that don't have as much open yards and spaces and stuff that are getting more concerned about that than we are out here, where we have larger lots and we do have more plant material. So, but I don't know how to. Yeah, I agree with you that I would not put turf in my yard because of the heat. It gets hot, and I'd warned my brother not to do that. He was going to put some in his backyard, and I said, "You're going to have an awfully hot backyard." And he's got a new lot, and his trees are small still. So maybe when his trees grow up, it'll shade it. Mm-hmm. But I do, and then I don't know. You know, they are west facing, like she said, and the requirement, our requirement in the code, I was looking that up for the park strip, is to put in shade trees, and that's why we don't believe that these Italian cypresses are considered shade trees anywhere. So, but technically they may provide some shade, though. When the west sun goes down, it'll shade the front yard. That might help them. Either these trees or actual shade trees will help in this case. But a lot of times people don't want to rake up their leaves either, so they don't plant the trees.
So I'm going to try and capture what we've discussed. Ms. Bevins has indicated that this is obviously an issue where we need to review what we want to include in our city ordinances in the future, that we want to formalize when we'll allow it and how much, and potentially put it in our code.
That would be a good idea, and you should make that a statement or a request of the staff to start working on those kind of things. And if you can do it now, it'll be passed on to Steve,
right,
about that. And also, and not just those requirements, but it would be, maybe we should have, if we're going to allow turf, we should define some standards, and maybe a limit how much, or if they have to have shade or something else to mitigate. Keep it cool.
Right. So that in the future we can identify what those concerns are that we have and have the appropriate mitigation.
I think some of the other concerns we've had before is, you know, runoff and so forth, but based on this type of turf is a fairly high quality, so we're not worried about that anymore, but they're still worried about the heat and other things. So we have some... I think we should maybe have those standards like other cities have as well for the turf, what it's made of, what its warranty is, so it doesn't start to look like what you saw in Riverton. So.
Okay. So that said, I don't know that we've been presented with evidence tonight of a detriment that we need to mitigate, but coming back to...
I disagree.
Do you? Well,
we've been presented with evidence that the plan as submitted does not comply with the park strip
ordinance. And I was coming to that next.
Okay, so, but you can and have the option of making that a condition to, anyway, it sounds like you're on top of it.
Well, but transition, so the turf itself, especially since this is an applicant that's actually trying to go through the process and has come to us instead of just doing it, and we've seen that as well. But coming back to what Commissioner Gedge said, I do have concerns about other parts of it that aren't in compliance. And so to make this exception, I think we probably do need to address that.
Yeah, so the park strip is one, and we've identified that as a detriment in compliance with city ordinance. And so, you know, maybe a way to mitigate that detriment would be to add a condition basically saying that the city park will be built, the park strip would be brought to compliance. But one part about this, since we don't have really a standard, though, for this type of thing, you know, I would almost like just like, you know, in our motion to say that basically this is our new city standard for now, our current city standard, because this is a higher quality, you know, set the bar high for other applicants that might come in, you know, basically call up the, you know, the Wyatt submitted application presented to us this evening as the minimum standard until we actually come up with some sort of standard.
I don't know that we have that authority.
Do we have that? No,
I don't think so, okay. But Mr. Simon,
but at least, or reference it in our motion, so when other applicants come in, and so at least they say this is what the standard was that we approved it off, or you know, made our motion off of.
Okay, so I think referencing.
So maybe it's not a standard, but our reference is what we based our decision off of.
Because an additional or future conditional use permits.
But going back to the park strip, though, you know, so we could maybe have that as a condition, but. Would that mean they have to make a modification to the conditional use to come back in with an actual plan for the park strip? For that 50%, the, you know, no natural gas anymore. It has to be feet within every 50 feet, you know, that type of cover that we've talked about. So how do we address the park strip piece of that?
I think, can we just put in there that they need to coordinate with city staff as necessary to receive approval for the park strip non-compliance if it's determined that it's not covered by the fence application or by this?
Or just that it's got to be in compliance.
It needs to be
brought in compliance. CUP. Yeah, the park strip has to be in compliance with city.
But it's not a part of the CUP and it needs to be addressed separately.
I'm okay actually coupling them. Am I misunderstanding what you're saying? The approval for the conditional use permit on their yard requires their park strip to be in compliance.
I'm fine with that.
With current ordinance.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Do you see any logistical issues with that? Does that impact their application for a fence? That can still be totally separate, right?
No, the fence is going to be addressed completely separate. And I believe that it's appropriate for you to say as a condition, I don't think you need to go in and say this kind of plants or this kind of anything. You just say it's be brought into compliance with it. What the city ordinances say.
Now, just because we've identified a potential detriment and a condition before we make that motion, I think it would be appropriate to invite the applicant to come forward to see if they would accept that type of condition.
Sure. Yep. Would you like...
Could we also add or receive the proper approval?
I think that would be coming back before us, potentially.
But that they either bring it into compliance or receive the necessary approval with it.
From staff.
With a new...
through the appropriate process or whatever that might be.
How expensive is this process?
I don't know.
It is very expensive.
I assume so.
It is very expensive. One of the things that I wanted to comment, and yes, you're right, this is a very high quality, of the build, I don't know if I told you, but the AstroTurf is more than 40% of the cost of this entire build. As far as the park strips were concerned, we were told they were going to be addressed with the other, and they had me write out a full explanation about the bus stop and the problems that we have had going through and the vandalism and the various things that we've done, and that this is obviously our fifth set of trees that we are trying to grow in that park strip because of the school bus and the problems that we have with the junior high, well, at one time all three of them, but now just the junior high and the high school. So that was why they included, as I understood it, and I may be understanding it incorrectly, as I understood it, that the park strips would be included on the other meeting that we are having. I think it's next week. It's
on
next
the
week.
Right.
Yeah.
Thursday.
With the fence.
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
That's not just not true. I mean, it's just the fence.
Yeah, okay. So regardless, if it's part of the fence application, you'll work with staff, whatever process to be, to make sure the park strip is compliant. I think that's just our...
Correct. I'm still okay making it a condition of...
Yeah, but, you know, if it's part of whatever that discussion was, which isn't part of our discussion this evening, the fence piece, So
okay, so
the park strip. We just need to make sure that's in compliance. That's, I think, our last major hiccup as a commission. And we just want to make sure that you, as the applicants, are not opposed to either whatever process has to be done.
In order for the park strip to remain the rock and just the trees, so that we don't have to deal with what we've dealt with for the last 25 years, do we have to make another application in order to for a variance?
Because not a variance, but it might be a different conditional
use permit, told,
or amending this conditional use permit to be included, because I think the way that we understand is that the park strip isn't included with your front yard. Is that
was not what was explained to us. I'm trying to figure out which part we're going to be fighting.
So what
for.
We're being told is the fence is completely separate than whatever goes on the ground. The fence is completely separate.
So next week.
The variance, as I understand it and as I've read the application, is about the fence. And what I think they're going to do, but they haven't had a chance to do it yet, and they may not still, is that they're going to probably approve your conditional use permit tonight. And as part of that, they are going to impose a condition that whatever you do along that parking strip needs to comply with the ordinance as it sits there. If that's not acceptable to you, then now's the time to voice that.
Well, that was why I was asking, are we going to have to refile a different motion or another permit to include the park strip? That's what I wanted to understand. Because our biggest issue right now is I have anywhere from 8 to 16 kids trampling across that twice a day. And growing things in there, even when it was grass, was difficult. And so that's the whole thing that we've done, and we've done that. Those two front park strips are where they all hang out. And so I wasn't, that's my whole, it can that be put into the consideration? Because we're not going to be changing the school bus stop. We already talked to the school and did what we could about that, and basically got a flat no. That was several years ago.
I think I can respond a little bit to this, and I'll let Greg correct me if I'm wrong. The park strip, she can't get a conditional use permit for the park strip, because in the code, it's in the same section as the front yard was, where the front yard says that, you know, or you could. You could apply, but park strips, it doesn't give it. It says shall be planted with this, this, and this. And there's no opportunity to have a conditional use permit for something different in the park strip. So I think her only option would be then to ask for a variance to that section of the code. It'd be a separate variance application, because it wasn't included in her application for the fence. So it had to be a separate application for a separate variance. And you can make it a condition of the conditional use permit, but I don't know if that's going to, if they don't want to change it, they're not going to change it. It would still end up becoming a code violation right now, whether you make it a condition or not. If they don't get a variance for it, then it's going to be a code violation, and it'll go through that process.
But regardless, it will also revoke their conditional use permit.
I don't know if they can't get a conditional use permit for that in the first place. So
I meant on the turf in the front yard.
So it would revoke the whole thing if they don't comply. I suppose I don't see why you couldn't do it. You couldn't do that, but.
Because there is some confusion on this, I'm starting to be inclined to maybe table this to give her a couple of weeks to coordinate with city staff and have them come back at our next meeting with some clarity on this issue their sake.
Especially if that's amenable to them. Right?
Yes.
Thursday, you said?
So if we could table it? Would that be amenable to everyone?
Please don't drag this out by linking the park strip to our front lawn. We've tried everything we can to keep those park strips alive. If you want to take the park strip, maybe that's why he tried to connect it to the fence, because it needed a variance. And maybe he didn't do it properly. But linking our front lawn to the park strip is just going to drag our front lawn out and prevent us from moving forward on that.
Will you please state your name for the
record? I'm Thomas Wyant. I'm her husband.
And will you make a note that he's part of the application?
That linkage, linking and placing our conditional use permit all hanging on whether or not we can keep the park strip alive is going to hang up this whole project, because we've tried to keep the park strip alive. Year after year, we've tried to keep the park strip alive. There are times when the children are on our front lawn. They come on our porch when it rains and snows. We can't stop these children. That's why she put the rock down there, because we just simply can't stop them. If it needs a variance, we'll apply for another variance if that's what it takes. But the linkage is just going to stop the project.
So my goal with tabling this would be so that you don't have to put in an unnecessary second application, so
Thank
that
you.
We give you the time to work with the city staff so that it gets sorted properly, that if you do need something from us, you can bring it back and not have to go through the entire process
well
again as a separate application. I think that's the whole goal.
I think one of the things that we feel like has been so difficult through this whole thing is up until the original complaint was made, we didn't have anything in those park strips for years because of this very thing. We feel like no one considers the fact that we have dozens of kids tracking across everything. They don't take that into consideration when they look at our yard. They don't take into consideration the trash or everything that is thrown in our yard. They don't, and we've been there. We were there. We've been there for more than 25 years. And so it's incredibly frustrating to have a home that you have built from scratch and you have been in it and you have taken care of it for that long, to not be able to ever have it ever look, what is the word I'm looking for, that pristine kind of look, because you are the school bus stop. You are the public local bus stop for everything. And up until the new elementary was built, it was double the amount of kids. When the elementary was up here off of 1300 West and 106, you know, it's very hard for us because we have never availed you guys of the public school system. All of our children have gone to private. And no matter how many times we talk to parents, no matter, it has not mattered. I put this in my application on the variance. We have tried to be good neighbors and speak to the parents about the vandalism, about the trash, about everything, and it just has been completely over our head. That's why a few years ago, I can't even remember when, we asked about moving the bus stop, and we're basically shut down. And so it's really hard to have what is now considered to be a $1 million home. I have to go out there every single morning and pick up stuff. We've had trikes, scooters, everything left on our lawn, thrown in our bushes, leaned up against our trees. This last summer, when there was a high school graduation party, every single one of those trees that you see planted were uprooted by 100 or so different teenagers that went to one party up the street. It got so bad that the police had to come down and start doing traffic in that area. So this is where we feel like we are being ignored, that the city's rules and regulations are not protecting our property. And we're supposed to put in that extra amount because we are the bus stop. I don't see the city workers coming out there and picking up the trash. They don't have to come out there and shovel all the snow so that those kids can get up to the bus. This is my frustration. And I know that you have ordinances and you have them for a reason. And our neighborhood is exquisitely beautiful. It is very beautiful. And I love it. It's one of the reasons we have never sold and moved. But being on that corner makes us a target of these unintended consequences of being part of the neighborhood and trying, in an effort to try and be good neighbors and trying to be patient with the children, especially now when we don't even have children in school and we haven't for 15 years, makes it equally hard. And I feel like that grumpy old lady on the corner telling the kids to pick up their trash when they get on the, you know, or that I even have to stand there and tell them to pick up their stuff. And so that's kind of where we're at with that. I would love for you to approve the variance as is with the rock. It makes the pickup of the trash easier. It makes me being able to see things easier. And it keeps me from having to plant and replant and plant and replant the vegetation that we have tried to grow in there. So that's kind of where I'm at, and that's where my frustration lies. So I know, I understand that you have policies and procedures and things that you have to follow. We are trying to work within that, and you are right. We are the first ones who have gone through the process because there are neighbors down the street from us who have full-on green artificial turf lawns. They're beautiful, but they did not go through this process, and they certainly did not have the problems that we have faced in communication with the city, because there is nothing like this there yet. I know that I am an early adopter, so to speak, of these kind of things. And I've tried to work with our environment. My biggest concern was water. That's the reason that it's in our back, and we're trying to put it in our front, because up until then, we spent the last 5 or 6 years with a growing population and a shrinking water supply. And so I was trying to, when we went to St. George, we did a lot of investigation and talked to a lot of people about their lawns and how they weathered and what went into this. This has been a very long time in the planning. This just wasn't a fly-by-night kind of decision. So I would like you to take into consideration that we are a corner and that we do see higher traffic than any other place simply because we are the school bus and we are the bus stop, and nobody's going to change that. That was what we were told. So I don't know where to go with that.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Wendt. Commissioner Gedge?
Yeah, just a couple things. So we as an appointed planning commission body have no authority to do anything with the parking strip other than it has been identified as a detriment because it's part of this application. And the way we can mitigate that is to state that it be brought into compliance with city code or whatever is put there. If it's not, it'll be on the homeowner's expense to make that to city code. So, I think that everything else that's been presented to us as part of this conditional use permit is within our purview that we can review with that one condition that's been identified. And so I'm in favor of approving the condition, tabling, hopefully between now and when they do meet with the variance on the fence issue, they can work on the park strip issue. I'm not sure if it's the same people of the planning department or a completely different department of the city on that piece of that. But I think for us as planning commission, and our role is, I think that's it. Because our only other option, I think, would be to deny if that detriment cannot be mitigated, which I think we found a pathway to get there. Now, that might be a little bit more administrative work, but that's not through us on the planning commission, unfortunately.
Can you clarify what that path is for mitigation?
Either to make the park strip per the city code, which Mr. Schindler said was shall, so we don't have the ability through a conditional use permit to have that as part of our process. So like he said, with the word shall, that means it might be a potential separate variance, which with the, like similar to the fence, or they build it up like it has to be with the city code. And unfortunately, if the neighborhood, doesn't make that beautiful or, however they continue to act, unfortunately, I don't know what other recourse there is, but unfortunately, I don't think there's anything we can do other than to say that or just, deny the whole application because because that is part of the property on that. Unfortunately, I think our hands are tied. I don't think, is there any other route? I mean, can city council do anything? I mean, appeal officer, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know the process above us. But I just know that with the park strip, I don't think there's anything we as a body can do other than as a thing that we will, that I might make a recommendation to the city for city council is to maybe re-examine the park strip ordinance for these types to make either conditional use or change the word from shall to may or whatever that wording may be to give some more flexibility in future cases. But with this particular case, I don't think there's really a lot we can do. That's just my opinion.
I see the wisdom in that. My heart goes out to you. We live right across from the bus stop in our neighborhood. When we had buses, I have seen all of the things you're talking about. I do agree that our hands are kind of tied. I do feel okay approving it with the condition that it either be brought into compliance or receive the variance necessary to do what they want to do. Other than that, I think the city does need to come up with some standards and limitations in our city ordinances for artificial turf, and also I think we do need to address the park strip, because I think this is obviously a larger issue than just their park strip. We've seen this issue across the city, so I think we do need to address that as well.
So before we make a motion that does one of those two things, let's confirm that a variance can be received on the park strip as a part of their fence application, or are we exposing them to another application?
The variance is my bailiwick, because I wrote the city's response on that, and I will be attending the hearing. The duty, the city, as you know, hires an outside hearing officer to get the most objectivity in hearing the variance as possible. And I'm sure that as part of this, it sounds like they're going to say, hey, we were told that the park strip was part of what we were asking for in the variance. I've read the application. I don't read it that way. And Demir and Steve Schaefermeyer both told me that the variance only involved the fence. But I don't really mind if they want to argue that there needs to be a variance on the park strip. That's going to be up to the hearing officer to decide if that's within the scope of the variance. And in some ways, I hope he decides that is within the scope, because I don't want to see them have to come apply for something else either. So that will all be heard. And I think we're all sympathetic, both on the conditional use permit and the variance. I, if you look on what I wrote about the variance, that doesn't sound fun to have your the litter and all of those things. But that doesn't mean that we can just waive what the law says. And maybe there does need to be a change in the law, but that's for down here further. The other thing I'm not sure of is, can't you have stone in the park strip? And still have plants? I mean, isn't that done everywhere? Anyway, that I'm going beyond what I ought to be commenting on, so I'll leave it to you.
Yeah, I just going back to a potential motion, just with the condition, make it as vague as possible so that it isn't either in compliance or if, you know, as long as it's in compliance with the city, you know, because that way, you know, if it is whatever the mix may be to make it in compliance, you know, is it whatever the feet, every 50 feet, but it could be stone, rock, and attempt to have live vegetation, doesn't mean that it take, or whatever it might be, that might be. Which isn't us, because we're also not code enforcement. So, I mean, I would just like to be as vague as possible to give them the flexibility to work with staff or whoever it might be to come up with a solution that meets the ordinance until hopefully an ordinance is changed by city council, who is the governing body, the legislative body. So, Madam Chair, based on that, I'd like to make a motion, please, if you don't mind. I move that we, the Planning Commission, based on this evening's discussion and the testimony provided, approve application PLCUP 20220214 to allow for installation of artificial turf as presented on property located at 11201 South Alisa Meadow Drive with the following condition based on a detriment identified in the discussion that the adjoining property park strip will be brought to city code. Further, I would like to direct city staff to start the process of working with us and city council to draft revisions to the park strip ordinance. I forgot the other part.
Not park strip.
You want to make changes to the park strip ordinance?
Well, to revisit the park strip ordinance and to create a citywide artificial landscape ordinance as well. For future applications.
Can I get a clarification on your portion with regards to park strip? You're trying to potentially open a door for unique circumstances.
Yes. Just do we need to change the word like from shall to may or whatever it may be? Just have that discussion at least. I mean, so to have that, just have it revisited.
I'm okay to revisit. I just worry, and hopefully staff can direct us when we have that conversation, that if you open that or even a little, it's the potential to go wide open.
And I'm fine removing the part about the park strip piece of that direction for the staff, because I know city council says they read our minutes and listen to our audio recordings, so I think they know our intent.
I maybe would like to add, just after brought into city into compliance with city code, or just or receive the proper variance or proper approval from whichever city department needs to give approval for the non-compliance.
Yeah, you understand, I left that out because if they did get that, then it would be in city, you know, compliance because they would have received that variance.
You can ask us without putting it into the motion to do the to look into the codes and stuff like that as a separate thing. You can do that afterward. It does, and putting it in the motions maybe make it confusing onto to the decision.
Okay, strike everything after my condition.
Except for maybe
amendments. And I'm fine with your you.
But do you want to make a motion to amend the motion?
Do we need that? Like, I just want it to be clear so that they have options, so that they
as someone doesn't compliance read this with city and go, ordinance and or the applicable variances and or clearance is granted. Yeah. Would that work?
Great.
I amend my motion for that.
They need to either come in compliance or get a variance.
Correct.
Okay.
And it sounds like they're going to try and get it through their fence application.
Yeah, through their fence variance.
They will try the variance process. Okay.
That is now before the city.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Let's do that.
I agree. I accept.
All right. Any further discussion on this motion? Okay. I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez, can we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Gitch?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollist?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bivens?
Aye.
Okay. So, Mr. Wyant, this means that this passes. We do wish you luck moving forward with this, and I would like to personally thank you for coming tonight, for participating in this process, for bringing these materials. We have a lot to learn. This is kind of a new frontier for us, so thank you for being our first and helping us through this. We wish you luck.
Thank you.
So,
just as a suggestion, you guys can look at the park strip variances, but maybe you should just put something in there for homes that are the bus stops.
Okay, we're going to move on to our legislative public hearings. Sorry, thank you for your participation tonight.
I thought we were done.
Are any other business for us this evening, staff? And this is, I think, where we will discuss your direction.
No, I don't have any other business.
All right. I do really quick while I'm remembering. I will email the commission and request that they let me know in advance that they're not coming. This is uncomfortably close to not having a quorum, and then that's a waste of everybody's time. I was unaware that of any of the absences that we were going to have today, because Mr. Darby's was last time that he had his wedding, right? No, that was city staff, was or city the city council. So,
and they may have been, well, Mr. Catmull, just to give the defense, we did say that at that time there wasn't going to be any items during our training, and so he may have just not checked his email, but still, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
That's a valid point. Okay, well, all right, now.
So at this point, if possible, we'd like to ask staff to work with either, talk with Mr. Schaefermeyer and whoever it might be so we can to revisit. I think the applicant, as they departed, brought up a good point. So we could just revisit the park strip portion of it. Are there things that we need to consider comparing it to other cities? Look at unique circumstances with sunlight, corner lots, bus stops, whatever that might, stop signs, whatever ways, so that we can look for ways to allow our citizens a pathway to make exceptions in extraordinary circumstances. I don't want to say just general circumstances, but maybe in extraordinary circumstances, which I think this is, just to see if there should be a pathway. Not saying that there should be, but at least let's have the discussion, maybe take that to City Council. And then on the second one, have we talked about, I think this, with water-wise, this has been a great water year, but I think this type of application is going to be more and more common, especially with, at the beginning, we talked about the annexation as well, as you get these new properties, new growth. And so, let's have the discussion now. It looks like other cities already have something at least on the books that maybe we can at least start with.
And I do like the staff report's approach of comparable cities around us. I don't know that St. George is comparable to us. I think that the extreme weather cycling and snow that St. George doesn't really get like we do probably can make an impact on how the turf wears. So,
but standards for the quality.
Right.
And I don't even know what type of organization. I mean, they listed some lab results in their packet they presented us, but I think that's more for the chemical parts of the materials rather than the water absorption or, the appearance, what kind of quality has to be. I don't want to, go down and buy a golf mat and put it into my yard and say that qualifies, what type of minimum specs do we have as a city?
And I'd like to see some limitations on it as well, just being mindful of...
I don't want to be the entire front yard.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously not large scope studies. I don't think we've had this long enough to see those effects, but I think there's enough evidence to show that it is not the best for the environment with the chemicals and the...
So on the staff, so they
heat.
They brought up they had it in their backyard. We have nothing we can do, the city requirements about backyards or side yards?
Nope. Not, well, side yards, street side yards you do if they're visible, but when they fence in the side yard, then it's not, you don't have anything. City does not dictate anything there. Let's see. We have had several. I could probably count them on two hands how many times we've had turf, the artificial turf applications come as conditional use permits to the Planning Commission over the years. But
it's been before me.
Yeah, it's been a while. But we used that with Brad Sanderson when he was working for the city. He actually had turf samples in his office because that he would. Show them this is the one we want. So, even though it wasn't in code, but he had those, and so we and there was, there's been enough. I would say, probably 8 to 10 different times it's come before.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because.
But it's been a while.
When we met with council, I think some of the discussion was to change some of the conditional uses. What come to us, and so maybe if you do have those types of samples, and they do have, then we do have standards. Maybe there's a way to make it more of an administrative staff, not to put more work on you guys, but less on us.
That would probably be a good thing if we can identify the detrimental effects and then put it into the code right away. So there's no, they would not apply for a conditional use permit. They just automatically have to do it. And so those kind of things. Speaking of that, there, one of the conditional use permits that we would like to get stricken from the code is the conditional use requirement for our restaurants in the community commercial zone. For years it was a permitted use, and somehow in 2015 it got changed to be conditional, and now we've got people that are opening up a restaurant. It's not without drive-throughs in and we don't know what the detrimental effect is, because they got these giant parking lots. There's really, there's nothing detrimental about a restaurant in a commercial zone that we can figure out. So that's in the process of being approved.
But not with, but without drive-throughs. I just want to be clear on that one.
The drive-through thing, that drive-throughs are always going to be a conditional use, regardless of whether the drive-throughs, if it's a restaurant or if it's a bank, we still need to review those, because there are some identifiable detrimental effects that need to be mitigated with the approval. But on that, and then also, you haven't asked it yet, but I'll just tell you, we have at least one item coming forward on the next meeting. It is a restaurant in a commercial zone.
Oh, that would have been a lot of fun.
With a drive through. Wow. And with a drive through. And with a daycare.
Plums under the neighbor's driveway.
With a daycare, but it's built in a barn.
Yeah. But this one, I feel bad for the applicant. He's the owner of the Rice King, which is out at 98 South in Bangor. He has to be vacated out of his building, that building, by Friday this week because of the construction, because they're going to tear down that building. That, right? And he applied for a tenant improvement permit for his new location down in the Vasa shopping center, where Vasa is on South Jordan Parkway and Bangor. There's some strip places there. There's a Subway in the same building that he's going in. And he applied for his tenant improvement permit, and we can't approve it because he needs a conditional use permit before we can approve that. So, and then...
Why isn't he here tonight? Probably didn't notice in time.
Well, he didn't. The application came in last week, and then he didn't get the response from the review until late last week. And then so he came in to our office wanting to know what is this conditional use permit. He doesn't know. And English is his second language, and he speaks it very well, though. But he was just confused. He said, I never had to get this for my previous location. And we said, well, it's because the code's changed since you occupied your previous one. He goes, does the Subway have one? I said, same with them. They've been there longer than the code has been in effect.
So, just to be sure, we have no way to adjust the schedule to accommodate this applicant, correct?
We've done the best we can. He came in today. He made his application today. We're going to send out notices on Thursday for the next week. So that's the best we could do. We're not going to take the 3-week review time on this one. It's pretty simple. And so we told him, if you can get the application in before Thursday, and he did. He went out, got the landlord to sign the affidavit. He's got it submitted, all his stuff. He paid the fee this afternoon. So that's the only item that I know that's on next time. But so we do our best to accommodate.
Basically, we all felt bad for it. I know last time we talked about maybe we have another hour of training. I suspect with the Subway in that building, there should be hopefully fairly quick opportunity, but I also don't want to put work on Mr. Simonson, but make Mr. Schaefermeyer come in and give us training.
Pump it off.
I just want to interject something here. They're going to come for a variance hearing in another week or so. And more power to them, but I don't think they're going to get it. And I could be wrong. I'm waiting to lose one of these variances one of these days. But what people don't realize is that it costs $700 to apply for a variance in our city. It costs nothing to pick up the phone and call your city councilman. And I think they would have a better chance calling up the city councilman and saying, hey, we want to put this little nice-looking simulated wrought iron fence in front of our yard. Could you see here's the language you would need to change to do that. And I think that they're going to have more success at a lot less cost if they can if people can be encouraged to approach you guys and you go to the city council or just call their city councilman directly. The developers all know this. They call the city council people all the time and beat them up for changes. And I think that the city council would love to hear from just average Joe and say, this is our situation. And
I assume staff isn't encouraged to make that recommendation.
However, I happen to know which district these residents are in.
We usually don't tell them to go to the city council, but we said the opportunity is you can change. It's more expensive to actually file an application to change the code, and they can do that. However, we also tell them if you go to your city council representative, you know, who represents you in your district, and they can direct staff, if they get three of them to agree, they can direct staff to do it, and it would be no charge to you. So that's we don't really encourage them to go to city council to get the city council's approval, but we would encourage them if they want to go to council to see if they can get the council to ask us to make the code change. If, you know, or they can go through the process with us too. If they pay the fee, obviously we'll process it. I don't know if every time we'd recommend in favor of it, but they have three city council people that seem to be in favor of it. There's no way. Why would we? It's going to get approved anyway.
My point is that there's a reason they call them the legislative body.
Yeah, they can make those decisions.
You can go to your congressman, and you can go to your councilman. And I just would like to see more people do that. It kind of breaks my heart to sit here and write an opposing variance memorandum and know that they got practically no chance. Because the rules on a variance are very strict, and you got to fit this mold, I tell people this all the time, and they don't believe me because they just think I'm the hired gun for the city and I'm whatever. But you guys, they'll believe, and.
I don't know that they do.
What's that?
I'm not sure that they do believe us sometimes.
They'll believe you more than they will me.
All right. I think that's all I had. Okay.
I will move that we adjourn.
All right. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed?
Wait, you did oppose it.